The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the privilege that we have to open up your word. You know, Father, that my prayer is that you will keep me out of the way, that you will move me, that you can have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. And Father, this is a seriously special night that's being celebrated. This is the announcement and the coming of your birth on earth. Nothing ever happened on earth that was greater than the night we're celebrating. We thank you for your word. We pray for your conviction. We pray for your comfort at the same time. In your son's most holy, precious, glorious name, we all say, praise God. If you turn me to John chapter 1, verse 35. John chapter 1, verse 35. And again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he says, behold, the Lamb of God. Now, verse 35 tells us it's the next day. Verse 30 tells us also, after verse 29, it was the next day. And what was the first day it started counting was the day that the Pharisees had sent people out to John the Baptist, who was baptizing at that time. And they wanted to know, why were you baptizing? The second day, John the Baptist sees Jesus after they come out. The third day, Jesus starts choosing his disciples. 3 days after he starts his public ministry. This is so good that you have to make sure that God moves you out of the way, that he may have the freedom to do what he desires to do with all of us. We are looking at why we are going to celebrate tomorrow morning. Look at verse 37. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Wait a minute, I thought they were disciples of John the Baptist. Yes, they were. But John the Baptist was directing people to Jesus. And it is such a reminder of all of us that this isn't a church about us. This isn't a church about Antioch. This isn't a church about the staff. This isn't a church about me. It is an opportunity for we as a church to direct people to Jesus Christ, who we will celebrate his birthday tomorrow. And when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he knew that his job was to direct others to them. And it's our responsibility to make sure, I don't care where you go to church. I would be foolish to say I don't think this is one of the best, because if I can find a better one, I would be there. I think that we're one of the best, but we do not own you. You are not owned by Antioch. You are owned by the Lord Jesus Christ. And where you can grow the most to know him is where you better plant yourself. It can't be about fancy chairs, because I know it wouldn't be. You wouldn't be here if it was. Can I have an amen? It can't be about the creature comforts. It can't be about finding a husband or finding a wife. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not the reason why you should be sitting in a place. It shouldn't be about the freedom that you have that the Bible don't give you. It should be about you understanding that the Lord Jesus Christ owns us all, and wherever you can go to grow is the most important thing. And if you ever see your pastor or anyone here on staff trying to act like you are owned by us, you let me know. And if you think I'm doing it, you let everyone else know, because I will not be worth following anymore. If I don't reflect Jesus Christ, I'm not worth the shoes that is on a hobo's feet in Bulgaria in the middle of winter. Some of y'all get that on the way home. I just was funny right there, Jack. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, well, hey, in Ebonics, who you be? What are you looking for? They said, well, we seek you, Rabbi. Rabbi means master. We want to know where you dwell. He said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him the day, for it was about the 10th hour. The 10th hour was about 4 p.m. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. It doesn't tell us who the other disciples were that first came, but we know one was Andrew. And he first goes out and finds Simon and says unto him, listen to this, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, the Messiah, who they have been waiting for 30 years. I got a little voice up here. 30 years they have been waiting for the Messiah to come back on the scene. Only time the Messiah has shown up is when he was 12 and messed up all the religious leaders. How would you like to have a son that was 12 that was a scriptural protege? We'll get excited about a young protege that can play the piano. Can I have an amen? Amen. I can't hear you. Amen. We'll be excited about a young protege that can just be a phenomenal athlete. Just some whiz in math. I love a protege that wasn't a little kid that was a whiz in math. Can I be an old protege if you can get the numbers straightened out? But we are all excited. But what about our kids? Are we trying to raise young scriptural proteges that knows the book and knows what it means to disobey the book and knows what's going to happen if they do disobey the book? No one's smiling on that one, so we'll move on. Come and see. They came, and one of the two which was there was Simon, Andrew, Simon's brother. He goes, he finds Simon and says, hey, come and look. We have found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus, verse 42. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone, a rock. And Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church. And he wasn't talking about Peter. He says, you are a rock. You are a stone. But upon this rock, himself, the church is going to be built. Now, how many of you have really understood all the things that's going on this particular night? And how many of you can put it in perspective of what it must have been like for those who heard the Messiah was born 30 years ago, don't know where he is, haven't heard about him, hadn't heard him preach one sermon, hadn't heard him do any ministry. And the first thing God says about him is, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So evidently, to please God means a lot more than just what you do. That's our example that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not what you do, it's what you become. It's who you are. Who you allow the Holy Spirit to mold. That is the purpose of the Messiah when he came on the earth, to get your sins forgiven and to give you the Holy Spirit to make you like the Messiah so God can say, in you, I am well pleased. Wouldn't that be a great thing to put on your tombstone? My God is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Instead of saying, you are so bad, you're going to be well done. I'm sure no one had to worry about that in Antioch. But there's some other churches out there. Whoa! Well, anyway, we'll drop that. The why we are looking for the Messiah. I think we found the Messiah. Who is that Messiah? Go over to Luke with me real quick. Luke chapter 2. Are you over there? Look at Luke chapter 2. Let's start with verse 9. This kind of gets me. I get excited about this, so I'm going to stand up a little bit here. I wanted to sit down and kind of have a quiet Christmas Eve talking to you kind of service, but that ain't going to work. Here is the shepherds. Now, Jesus Christ is probably born somewhere around March or April of the year, not December. He's probably born March or April. John the Baptist then would have been born around October, November, because he was 6 months older than Christ. I believe that the wise men probably found Jesus several years later. And they probably found him the night that they showed up at their house, I believe was December. It was in December. Because God's timing of how he's done everything is absolutely under his sovereign care, under his control. There was a holiday that was being worshipped in December during that time where the Christians was getting a great deal of pressure to submit to that pagan holiday. And that pagan holiday was the worship of Satan or Saturn, or if you're from the South, Satan. Or it was the Roman god, Ra. And the Christians being pushed and pushed and pushed, would it be like God to come along, not a respecter of persons, but a protector of his children, and allow them to go from being pushed to serve the sun god to start serving in December the son of God? And that's how I believe that when the wise men, the Magi, found Christ, it was around the 25th of December, and it has stuck the day that they found him. Now go with me over here because of the excitement of what must have been taking place this night 30 years ago, that now we're in John chapter 1, and I believe maybe on the very same night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them out of that light. Can you picture how dark it must have been out on the prairie where they are feeding the sheep? It's not like they are a light post all around. And the greatest light they have is why they build their fires. So that light didn't go very far away from the fire. And all of a sudden, here comes this light, like a couple of Alabama rednecks in a big truck with big halogen lights all over. Did I say that? Came out loud. But can you, just think about it. How bright do you think it just, here you are used to light coming from a fire, and then here comes a halogen. Lights up everything. The sheep is all like, whoa! You know it had to be a God thing, because you know how tender a sheep is. For something to get that bright that quick, all of them would have had heart attacks. So God protects his sheep, doesn't he?
He does, amen.
The angel shows up right over there in Bethlehem. I want you to go. The Messiah, he's born right there. There's only one other thing that was brighter than that angel probably that night. Can anyone tell me what you think it is? Come on, speak up, Christians. The Star of Bethlehem. What do you think I'm thinking about? Wendy's drive-thru or something? In-N-Out burger. That's what it was. It's only one other thing that was brighter that night, and that was the Bethlehem Star. So a very interesting tape the other day. And if we can get this guy to come to the church, it is amazing. It's going to blow your mind. Talking about, was it an actual event, a star, or was it just something made up by us Christians? Astronomy knows it's true. Astronomers know it. They can go, they got programs now that can go back and tell you exactly where the stars were the night of any day in history. Because you know why? Because God made everything in order, and it keeps order. Our God is so awesome, baby. Do you know what would happen if the earth stopped rotating 1 mile per hour on its axis? If it slowed down or sped up 1 mile an hour on its axis, you know what would happen? Every one of us would be going, whoa! It must contain the exact speed at the exact angle on the exact axis for gravity to work. We got computers now. We got Hubble telescopes. I think they should have named it a Hutchinson telescope. But I didn't invent it, huh? Could have given a brother a break. Bam! Right there, folks. And you can go back mathematically and prove without a shadow of a doubt what the stars were saying throughout the scriptures, because God says he spoke through the stars and the scriptures. And do you know how well God spoke to the stars and the scriptures? Let me read something to you. We have found the Messiah. Luke chapter 2, go with me real quick. For unto you, verse 11, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, this was the shepherds. This wasn't the wise men. The shepherds saw him that night. The wise men saw him later. Now, hold on. And suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass as the angel was gone away from them, the heavens, the shepherds said one to another, let us go and find him. And they went and they heard and they saw. Now, you know who had a real bad night about a year or so after? That wasn't that excited about as the disciples were, when Andrew told his brother, come see the Messiah, we found him. I'm sure we found him. You know who wasn't as excited as the shepherds were when they heard from the angels? Herod. The Magi. Astronomers. They were what? Astronomers. Probably descendants of relatives that was wise men who worked with Daniel. Because we got to ask a question, folks. How is it that Gentiles from another country would jump on their camel named Clyde, leave their country, and travel probably for years to find a baby that's supposed to be born in Jerusalem on the very time that he was supposed to be on the earth? Because they believed a Christian who was a captive, who had risen from being a slave to one of the most powerful people in the land, and had lived a witness. Because he too believed in that Messiah, because God had given him a prophecy 483 years earlier. Are you hearing me? Many of us as Christians have a hard time trusting Christ for 83 minutes. These non-believing, I believe, descendants, Persians, had such a witness from their parents and their parents and their parents and their parents who had lived with Daniel. Because in Daniel chapter 7, he's in captivity in Babylon. And he gets the first set of prophecies about the 10-horned animal. About the 10 nations is going to come. But in Daniel chapter 9, he's a captive in Persia under Darius. And he gets this prophecy that there's going to be 70 weeks dealing with the Jews. Now, he didn't ask what history is going to bring. He asked, what is your plan for the Jews? And so God gave him his plan for the Jews. He did not give him the plan for history, for the future. Thus, he skipped where we are today, which is between the 69th and 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. But he says, after the 69th week, that is 483 days, the Messiah is going to hit the ground. Bamskis, can I have an amen from somebody? And in that short period of time, he's going to be cut off for a while. Crucifixion. What would make a bunch of non-believers believe something that was given in prophecy in the Bible 483 years later and leave their home with gifts to come and say there is a king on the ground? That king is with us, even to this day. Let's see what that king did. Because praise be to God, he didn't stop being the king. The first thing he does is he picks his team. And I went off and left what I had written to share some phenomenal poetry that I had written. What are you guys laughing about? It was phenomenal. I'm going to may have to send it out on my blog. If I can ever get my blog up. You're going to love my 12 Days of Christmas by Pastor Hutch. It was smoking. You're going to love it. But if you don't love it, don't tell me. Because I'm extremely sensitive. Verse 43. And the day following, the fourth day, we go forth into Galilee, and he finds Philip and says unto him, follow me. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip finds Nathanael. How many of you have ever noticed that as Jesus is going out, the Messiah, who's been quiet for 30 years, who's starting this public ministry that's going to last for 3 years, that the first thing he does is choose his disciples. And the first thing he allows his disciples to do is to choose other disciples. Can't hear you. Ladies, the Bible tells me on this Christmas Eve, night before Christmas, it seems as though we ought to have a pattern set up about how we ought to grab others and to bring them into the kingdom. Not just about you and I. It's about how you and I can help others. Example from the very first day of Jesus' ministry. Every one of the guys Jesus picked did what? Went and got somebody else. Guys, do you have guys you're grabbing onto? You're spending time with? Telling them about the Messiah? Allowing them to see that it's not about church? It's not about the organization? It's not about the do's and the don'ts. It's about loving Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who's on the earth, who was born on the earth, who we're going to celebrate his birthday tomorrow. And you know something? We ought to remember something. I will be highly upset if I had a birthday and everyone got gifts except me. Can I have an amen? Well, Jesus, we love you, but nothing under the tree for you, bro. We'll try that next week. Anybody feeling bad? Don't feel bad. Jesus ain't got nothing under my tree either. You know why? Because I don't put Jesus' gift under the tree. Jesus' gift walks by the tree. Jesus' gift put other gifts under the tree. Jesus' gift lived for Jesus every day of his life. That's the gift of all gifts that you can give on Christmas. You. Wrap yourself up. Put a bow on you. And if you're a guy, don't make it a pink bow. Make it a manly bow. Ladies, go ahead. Any color. Just according on what your season is. Personally, I'm a winter. Some of you get it on the way home right there, man. Look at this. Philip finds Nathanael and says, hey, come, the prophet, the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph, come check him out, man. And Nathanael said unto him, can there be any good thing that came out of Nazareth? I love this. Philip says, let me give you the five doctrinal points of how I know that he is Messiah. Is that what he said? Let me wrap to you about 13 weeks of Bible study like you have to at Antioch if you want to become a member. He didn't say that, did he? How about let me take you to get a theological degree? He didn't say that? Why? Well, I think you ought to quit what you're doing if you really want to know Jesus and go full-time ministry. You, that's a foolish move if God don't call you. Can I have an amen? You better be called. You'll be a full-time minister. We got too many people calling on Jesus because they can't get another job. Come and see. Can you tell someone, you want to know my Lord? You don't think he's good? Come and see. Walk with me for a while. Let me show you how good he is. Well, I know some of you are saying, praise God, not many verses left. And I know a lot of other you are saying, I wish that was the next service so we could get out of here. But I ain't got nothing to do but go home. I'm not going to even move tomorrow. If someone comes in my room before 2 o'clock, I am going to send them to Jesus. On his birthday. Here's a gift. Hope you like it. Come and see. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said unto him, I want you to watch this, folks. Listen to this. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Check out this man right here. I like him. Oh, my heart would sing if I could hear my Lord and Savior say, I like him. Not because he died for me, but because I'm living for him. Man, what a blessing. What a call of God. Nathanael said unto him, what? You know me? Jesus answered and said, before Philip even called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Listen to this, folks. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, Master, Teacher, Messiah, the one who's come from God, the one we've been looking for 30 years, the one that the angels came and told the shepherd came and told us, you are him. You're the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. I don't know about you, man, but that don't seem like a 1-2-3 witnessing tool. Does it? You guys don't have to know all the steps of the four spiritual laws. Do you know Jesus? Do you live for him? Does people see a difference in you? On this Christmas Eve night, do you walk with God in such a way that folks can say, whoa, I want that. What do you have that I don't have? Give it to me. Can't hear you. This is where we're going in the rest of the book of John, right here. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto you, I saw you under a fig tree, you believe? Let me tell you something. You ain't seen nothing yet. Somebody give me an amen in here. You believe just because I say I saw you under a fig tree? Let me tell you what is going to happen, bro. Verse 51. Verily, verily. I think that means pay attention, pay attention. I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You thought it was something 30 years ago. You thought it was a message when they came down, all lit up. Wait until now. You know what my motto is? Let me give you my motto as a Christian. Hang with the pastor. You ain't seen nothing yet. Hang with the pastor who hangs with Jesus. You ain't seen nothing yet. Hang with a ministry, I don't care where it is, that will not compromise the word of God. You have not seen anything yet. You know why I know that? I have experienced it. I'm not talking about something I've heard. I'm not talking about something someone else has experienced. I'm talking about me and God. And he wants to have the same relationship with you. Are you woman enough, girls? Are you man enough, guys? Because don't think that if you want God to do great things in your life, the enemy won't try to do greater things. But it's Christmas Eve. You guys got me a gift under the tree?
Sure did.
Ching, ching. You didn't give me nothing? You ain't got no job either. So you ain't got nothing either. I'm going to take your gift. I'm going to use it, then I'm going to give it to you. You know, that's what parents are supposed to do. Ladies, stop buying gifts for kids when girls are born. Did you know that? You guys don't buy any more gifts for kids. You got a gift. You got a doll that walks. Y'all can say what you want. You know it's true. Dress it up, make it all kind of thing. Boys, man, men, we love to have kids. We buy toys for them we want.
Yes, sir.
But I am an equal opportunity to give by. I buy my wife what I want to. Don't be like me. Be a Christian. Let's have a great time tomorrow, can we?
Amen.
Can we keep it about Jesus and make sure you put you in the gift box for Christ?
Amen.
I don't know who's here who don't know Christ. But man, you will be crazy not to wrap yourself up for him tonight. I'm going to close in prayer. You're here for a reason. Someone invited you or someone tricked you. Either way, you're here. You heard the word. And you need to wrap yourself up for Christ. It's about accepting Christ. Nothing else. It's about submitting to him. Nothing else. And if you haven't, let's give you an opportunity to wrap yourself up for him tonight. It's very simple. You got to believe that Jesus Christ was God and he was man. You got to believe he lived on the earth without sin. 33 years. You got to believe he died on the cross in your place, because you and I cannot pay for our sins. We're not righteous enough. Only he is. You must believe that he was buried, put in a tomb, and that 3 days later he rose again. No ifs, ands, buts about it, no shortcuts, no long cuts, no additions, no subtractions. That's the gospel. And you got to believe, you got to ask him to forgive you of your sins, and he will. Simple as that. And then he wants to show you what it's all about and trusting him. Won't be easy. May even get worse, a lot worse. But I'm going to tell you, worse with Christ beats in a better without him. Because you can't beat the retirement plan. Can I have an amen? I tell you all the time, you can be at the Winnie roast or the Winnie at the roast. I can't explain it any better than that. We're going to get heat up either way. One is going to be molded to be like Christ. One is going to be molded in judgment. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for those that are here that may not know you. They've heard what they must believe, that you're God, Jesus, that you live without sin, that you died in our place. They must believe it all. That you was buried. That 3 days later you rose again. You're now at the right hand of the throne of God, listening for them to submit their lives to you on this Christmas Eve service. Nothing better. Greater things can they see when they allow you to come in their lives. They just say, Jesus, here I am. I believe those things. Forgive me my sins. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making me one of your children. And thank you for taking me this night that I may walk with you December 24th, 2010. Excuse me, Lord. 2011. That I may walk with you from this night forward and may show others how they need to wrap themselves as a gift to you every celebration of Christmas. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.